If you're watching the video, you see that little logo? Hi, welcome to episode 6 of Hell's Vengeance Live. We are recording the Foul Play podcast, and we are live streaming to Twitch, to Twitter, to everywhere we can get our hands on. I am your host, GM Jeff Ball, and tonight is the final episode of the season. The show is going to be put on short hiatus, but we will be back. We will be back. We got to focus on other shows. And tonight, we had a little contest last week, two weeks ago, where we asked the general public on Twitter to repost that we were posting these evil episodes, and we would pick someone to do a walk-on cameo. And lo and behold, the community has brought us forth a winner. So later on, a certain NPC will be controlled not by myself, but by said contest winner, and we will introduce Nick from Character Arcana podcast in the future. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, where did we leave you? I believe the scene juts down upon a tavern. And in the tavern, in Longacre, in the country of Chelyax, on the Pathfinder First Edition world of Galarian, we have a chili contest. No, we have a very angry tavern owner of the Last Stand Tavern, who has been flinging chili in the eyes of an upstanding young female citizen, Simmery Stalish, town toughie and rogue. And things went a little sideways from there. We've had our tiefling. Oh, Joe, what is the name of your archetype? I keep forgetting. I know you're an inquisitor.
Yes, it is the
Living Grimoire, is that it?
Yes, Living Grimoire.
Okay. And you had a little go in the guy's face, and now we've got, returning from putting up their post, you guys just put up the decree. And you know what? I should dig this up one more time just to show the world so they know what we're talking about. The Baron's decree that your benefactor, a certain Res Largo, right? All citizens and visitors to the town of Longacre, by order of his lordship, yada, 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 a bunch of official stuff. He wants to do a curfew. He wants to close one of the three gates leading into this town. He wants no more than groups of half a dozen gathering in any one public place, and no more than a dozen or so, half a dozen, for families. And, you know, like, I'm not saying it's martial law, but this is not, you know, not your regular. I mean, for Chelyax, it's a little bit a little bit steep. We're going to see how the patrons of this town react. The old couple that ran the gatehouse did not react well, but they finally kind of took it and ran off. And now we are here at the Last Stand, the second of four places you're supposed to post. And this guy is in your face. And I believe somebody happened to do an action that made me roll for combat. Am I mistaken?
Yeah, that is right. I threw chili at him.
And did you hit him with the chili or did we pause time?
I can't remember. I think I did.
You think you did? Hit a poor...
He indeed did. And oh, the poor man's eyes are burning.
Oh. From a spicy chili.
Yeah. Okay. Well, even a chili...
Spicy meatball.
Even a food fight is a fight. So cue the battle music and away we go. So, Frank Hamilton isn't with us tonight. I will be controlling Garion the Butcher, the half-giant, tonight, but I will...
Garion will try to maintain a presence
as best I can. So, starting at the top...
And at the very least, Nikolai will keep him occupied in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so...
Shake my keys at him.
Isn't that like Darwin's dog or something? You ring the bell and you make him salivate. He wants combat or meat chunks.
That's Pavlov's dog.
Pavlov's dog. My mistake. So, starting the initiative order with Simmery. Alex, what does Simmery do?
Other than double over laughing?
Sure. That's a move action. We'll give you that. Or a free action.
I mean, I was offended, but I wasn't personally going to take this physically. I believe the man has been rightfully doused. I'm going to leave this up to my friend.
All right.
I'll hold my action.
Garion the Butcher, I believe in classic Frank style, would attempt a demoralization check with his intimidate skill.
That's not true at all.
That's true. That's the old Frank.
I can vouch for the fact that if that dude was covered in food, Garion would try to eat him.
Yeah.
I can't say you're wrong. I can't say you're wrong.
I waste.
Yes.
a good waste of chili.
All right. Forgiveness, Frank, wherever you are. Somewhere in Oregon. No, he's fine. He's fine, ladies and gentlemen. He's fine. Shouldn't say it like that. All right. So Frank's going to... Sorry, Frank. Garion is going to come at him with the good old CMB for a grapple. Grab the shoulders and start licking him upside the head. And with a 12, actually can't quite... He's slippery. It's so...
It's on my hands now.
And he just... grabs the guy, and the guy wiggles free because of the chili, and Garion looks at his hands and just starts licking the chili off of his hands for a moment. So that's Garion. I just realized I can't see my dice rolls. That's not good. Next up, we have Tithe. Joe, what do you want to do there? Back to you so soon.
I am going to hold my action until whatever the barkeep, whatever his name was, decides to see his reaction after being hit with his chili on what he's actually going to do.
Okay. So, putting him actually last, because he didn't do so great. If you're going to wait, I'm just going to put you at 8 as opposed to 18 on ye old tracker here. Just saying that now, because now you're actually waiting for his reaction. You're not just delaying to jump in the initiative later.
No.
Okay.
Waiting for his reaction.
Because those are two different things that you can do in Pathfinder First Edition. It leaves us with Nikolai. Matt, what do you do? What does Nikolai do?
All right, so bearing witness to the scene, I will approach up the pathway and attempt some diplomacy.
Friends, cease this hostility. Come now, I think you are failing to see the big picture here, what's this guy's name?
he never gave it. You just come on the scene, he's a tavern owner, knowledge local?
All right, I'll chuck that. I don't have
considering you're
local.
Not really supposed to be using diplomacy in combat, they always have that. You need a minute to talk to the guy, but...
Right. Well, that's what I'm going to try to do. So that's my next, 10 rounds.
Well, you know how you have Intimidate to demoralize, right? There's got to be something in diplomacy that we can do that's not really outside the rules wheelhouse where the guy becomes possibly hesitant to act, you know, might actually delay his action because he's thinking about your words, you know, like a -2 to his initiative, giving him that moment of pause, right? And... that moment of pause could push him down the initiative track, which could, as long as everyone before him suddenly goes up the initiative track, doesn't smack him around when he gets his own action, you know, might break off hostility. So remind me that when we play just about anything First Edition, our very first house rule. Now, I do like rules as written, and we do try to stick to them, but, you know, crit cards are not rules as written, and we've tried them. So I'm curious. Intimidate. Success, -2, demoralize, diplomacy, success, -2, initiative, and, you know, that might give a guy a moment of pause, maybe 4.
All right, so I'll throw a diplomacy out there.
It may not have a lot of impact, you know?
A 24.
So what did you get for your local?
I did not. I don't have local, but I'll give you a raw intelligence.
Sure.
8.
You don't remember Simri mentioning or, you know, like, we just hadn't got this far. You went to a different tavern to meet Simri and... You know,
okay.
I'm not with your acquaintance, right?
I just don't know his name.
Yeah, my good citizen usually works, right? Who are you calling good? What do you mean, you people? All right.
Gotcha.
So, 24. Yeah, dude, I will set the bar at, what's the DC for demoralization? It's the guy's CR, right? So it's his personal CR with his wisdom, right? The diplomacy check. So for every shift on the diplomacy chart you could normally move him, I will give a -2 penalty. So right now he is hostile, and we're looking at 25 plus his charisma modifier. Oh, maybe that's why they don't bother doing this in combat. Unfriendly. Yeah, actually, no, I could still cap him at unfriendly because technically he's not stabbing you. He just threw chili at you. You know what I mean? Like he's not throwing down and fighting and doing the hockey shirt. The guy's like, get off my porch. And he's winging mud in your eyes. So.
Yeah, and we weren't exactly coming there nicely either.
20 plus the dude's charisma modifier does fall within the 24 wheelhouse, and I'll give him the penalty. So you got to do something mechanical as well as characterization. Thank you, Nico. So now coming up to our bar guy, our Bolgart Kagan Simri. You actually know the citizen. As an NPC of the town that I've actually asked a cameo player to play, there's some, you know, take 10 on the local. well liked, you know, he's a good guy. Little awkward, you know, and he's kind of gives off that vibe. I mean, you've been in your town your whole life. He's got like secrets. Dude's definitely got that vibe, you know, like a skeleton in his closet or something. But other than that, like, he's really good to his patrons. They all love him. Everybody comes. This is the biggest, most popular establishment in town. You know, you can't get that kind of business by being a douchebag. Anyway, and right now he's gone for the chili. Now, maybe your opinion of him is not so great because he actually got you in the eyes. So at this point, though, even with the penalty, right, he's going to wait. And then there's like Tithe. So Tithe, his reaction actually is hesitation. He looks like he's about to take a step forward. And then he turns and hears Nikolai going, my friends. And he's like, who's this guy? Or trying to put together the math is he with you? Or is he just another citizen trying to break up a random fight amongst strangers? So he hesitates for a moment. He still gets an action, but this is a chance for you to do something if you wish.
Nope.
Okay.
In terms of skeletons in the closet, can I roll for that if I might know or have heard of anything?
Sure. You can try. It would be local knowledge again, you know. But it would have to be it would have to be pretty epic because this is a very personal secret, you know.
Well, you know, if you don't necessarily know said skeletons, it's easy enough to spread rumors, such as what the chili is actually made of.
Secret sauce. To your credit, he is not the only person holding this secret. Like, there are some town folk that know his secret, so you know the DC is reachable, just difficult because. It's the kind of thing that you just don't tell your friends. People find shit out, and then you make them your friends. Anyway, there's been murmurs. There's been, you know, you're growing up, and there's been odd moments where he'll stop talking, or he looks plaintively at, like, begging someone, don't tell anybody, and then these guys, certain people get free drinks in the bar, you know, things like that. So very suspicious, right? But no, nothing's come to light. Now you want to start planting rumors about the chili? Not in the middle of combat, but yeah, that's not a bad idea. If you want to, I mean... Destroy a man's tavern, life, hold business. That's evil, as far as I'm concerned. So, what am I going to do? He demands, again, that you leave. Now, the cool thing about this game is I cannot intimidate you. I can't take an NPC, make a roll, and insist that he beat your DC and run off. You guys always have complete control, whether you suddenly run away for no reason, the most bravest of paladins, or stand firm, the most humblest of commoners, whatever you play. It's always your choice. But I can tell you, with a roll possibly, how imposing he is. And with a natural run, he looks absolutely ridiculous because it's stinging in his eyes and the man is openly crying from the hot sauce. So it's almost like he saw me going, get off of my perch. And then he sees Nico, you know, and he's looking at Gary and who's licking his hands. And it's just like the guy needs a minute to collect himself. Tithe, anything this round before I go to next?
Nope, that will be it then.
All right.
Disengage.
All right. Back up.
Later.
Yeah. Step back. Tithe. I mean, sorry, Simri.
Yes. I would establish once more that the sign stays unless he would like continued trouble.
Okay. Can I have an intimidate check? That's definitely demoralizing.
Certainly.
It's just a threat, I believe. And we like to roll dice here. We do.
Yes, my 5-foot threat. Oh, 1 + 7 = 8. Mass.
Dice are not liking you guys tonight.
No.
All right.
Garion has finished one hand and starts on the other.
Nikolai, moving on up.
Yes.
So just to picture the scene, there's a tavern out in the open, a path leading up to a very large deck. I mean, these ponderosa kind of 10 foot deep and going all the way around the front in a ring of the entire building. It's a big deck with 10 foot wide stairs going up. And everyone's kind of in this... hoedown square in front of the front door, right in front of the stairs, off to the right side of the building on its edge, and they're just sort of in a little square pattern all looking at each other. Nico is doing what? Slides on up in there and...
Yeah, I'll put my hand on his shoulder. My friend, this is not a battle you can win. I suggest you withdraw. If you have issue with the signage, take it up with the magistrate.
Okay. The man continues to wipe stinging chili from his eyes and is suffering its effects, and you realize that he's
actually, you know what? I'll aid him in that endeavor.
Oh, here, let me help you.
Yeah.
Now, is this the proper eight or those cool roguish thief heist movies where, like, the guy ends up being pushed off a cliff? You know, oh, let me help you there, buddy. Oh, you fell down, boot. You know, let me help you up.
No, I'll actually help him get it out of his eyes.
Get it clean? Okay. Sorry. You know how the classic vampire has the ascot with the red gem, right? And you just, like, underneath, like, imagine several layers, and one pulls off like a tissue, and there you go, buddy. He's got the, you know, the four layers of frill. You just pull one out, instant tissue.
Mom, yeah, oh, I'm totally rocking the Interview with a Vampire outfit.
Oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. So, yeah, removing a tissue ascot. Double purpose gear. I'm telling you, I'm putting that in my gear list. Helping him out, sure. Okay. I am blinded. I believe. I think he's saved. And again, all you guys are all tight. You know, one's looming over him, licking. You're in his face now, pushing him around and cleaning him off. And like, no one's, you guys are kind of doing the passive aggressive thing. You know, like, it's their deal with it. There's no threats. There's no shoving. There's no, you know what I mean? He's not calming down. The man is upset and he continues to curse at you. And this is wrong. And get off my porch. But he does seem helpless in the fact that he's just cleaning himself up, trying to see. So again, Tithe, you know. The situation is just kind of at a stalemate. He's still muttering curses and wants you guys to leave immediately. But he's accepting Nico's help. Garion is happy licking Chili off his fingers. Simri is tactically at a distance, but is still threatening. Protecting her little sign that she's standing in front of that she just put up with broken nails. And there you are on the edge of the deck doing what?
Getting ready to leave.
Okay.
He's been warned.
Yep.
Actions are done. On to the next objective.
Right.
Since we're running out of time.
Yeah, you're actually, you're like carrying them under your, you're the guy that was carrying all this stuff. Simri gave you all this stuff here, hold all this crap.
We got two more to go.
Yep. So you actually wanted to, like, you actually want to head down the stairs going, come on, guys.
Yep.
All
right. We'll be back.
On to the next.
Yep. Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah. Leave him where he can't act, right? Simri. Tithe.
Yes.
Yeah, Tithe bails. Nico's cleaning up the guy. Gary and Tithe. Yeah, so Tithe is leaving. Nico and Gary are staying for a moment. What do you do?
I would just explain to Nico and Garion that we should move on to our next objectives, and if our friend here is clever, the sign will be here in about a few hours when we come back.
We'll be back. All right. So, traipsing away.
Garion. Not hot enough.
Still working on the one hand. Nico.
Nico.
Sorry.
I am terribly sorry for the inconvenience, my friend. However,
and it's the Archduke that we're working for, right?
You work for the Archbaron? No, sorry, Baron, you work for Rez. It. Sorry, you work for Rezlago.
But we're pushing the Archbaron.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. He's the guy that runs it. You haven't met him yet.
Yeah.
Might I suggest that you apply for official status with the Archbaron? You may find that your fare goes up just from the militia that is going to soon be arriving in the town. And I'll take my leave. Garion. Follow me.
Okay. Again, cursing, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Tithe. And back around. So as you guys exit the scene, I am going to be so much as I think Garion would actually, like, just scoop up the chili pot. From, like, it's lying on its side right there on the deck, and he just grabs the chili pot and walks
under
off
his
with
arm.
It. You know, he's doing the Winnie the Pooh, like the honey jar. He's just, you know, yeah. He's got it under his arm, this great big freaking cauldron, and he's just digging his hands in and, you know, burning, ignoring it, and just licking it. But he's still sputtering curses at you in half.
I'll actually toss him a coin.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
I will actually toss him a coin.
Okay. Can I have a ranged touch attack, please? I have an idea.
Okay.
Toss that at him, right? What kind of coin? Are we talking copper? Are we talking silver?
I'll give him a silver.
Oh, that's nice. That's decent.
Again, my friend, I am sorry for the intrusion.
Okay. So with a six, you miss so badly, instead of like going to him or the proverbial in front of him or slapping it on the rail, it actually like flicks towards him and kind of just like sticks to his gut. Right at that arc with some wet chili, you know, just kind of stuck to him. You know, like
splick. I like that better, actually.
There you go. And Tithe leads the charge away. All right.
Onwards.
Onwards. Onwards. So, the next two options is Sheriff's Dalish and the Town Square.
Maybe the Town Square, because I do believe that is closer anyways.
Okay.
And I almost wonder if we create a commotion there, the Sheriff won't come out on their own.
Yeah.
True.
Actually, she's fired though, right?
Well, she doesn't not yet. She will be. You guys have her pink slip or something. I don't like it.
Yeah.
All right. So we've had this map up before. Everyone seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
So for our podcasting audience, this is a large square. Like we're talking 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet from a southern building to a well that's off-centered to the west. 40 feet to a bunch of buildings on the west on the left side. To the north, jutting down into the town square, chewing up like 80 feet, is this gate around the church in a graveyard where Professor Niles was last seen examining bodies for the city. You saw your little sermon, the crowd dispersed. Coming back here, I'm going to leave the NPCs on the board, but this is just representing not a crowd, but just lots of people going about their day. And because we are in the next day, it's almost like they're expecting something more to happen. Like it's, hey, let's take our lunch at 2 Ralph and see if anything happens downtown, right? People are like, I'm not saying they're like hanging out windows or sitting on the proverbial half-made skyscraper with their little lunch boxes watching the city go by. No, nothing like that. But there's a fair amount of commerce going on back and forth. People are taking extra time, taking their bundle of Twix across the street. You know what I mean? Like everybody's looking around and talking. And then you guys show up. There is a post, and I'm going to say it's down here with the old Christmas tree, this glob of unidentified something that we never really figured out what it was. Dead center of the square is open. To the west is a well. To the east is an open sort of street that goes beyond the church and a whole line of buildings and another exit to the south side. And perched sort of like up in the middle, but still off to the east, is this cluster, like a tree and a post and some barrels. And on there is a post notice with a whole bunch of posts like you'd find at a grocery store. I'll cut your lawn. Extra wheat grain needed. You know, I've misplaced Timmy. Please check the well. You know, stuff like that. Stuff like that. What do you guys do?
Make our way to the Christmas tree.
Roll straight up to the Christmas tree? Yeah. Coming. Okay, I'm going to put you guys on the south side here. You guys are just rolling on in.
Oh, look at that. I'm already there. Nope, that's not me.
Oh, I may have put you on. I think Garion's carrying you. I may have accidentally. Yeah, there you go. Riding on Garion's shoulder, the 6-foot tiefling on top of the 6'7". There's a sight to behold. You know,
it's a man beast.
Now let's go with it. We'll parade into the town square. Yeah, like really. This.
Prince Ali, you know, Grimoire is he. Yeah, no kidding. So picture the town square, and in we come. Nico. You got Simri and Tyth making a beeline for that post.
Henry. Most of my attention is going to be making sure Garion doesn't get into any trouble. I'm probably really super thankful that he grabbed that chili pot because I'd imagine it's keeping him from just walking up to random food carts and grabbing food again.
it was spilled on us and there's not a lot in the bottom. And you're hearing the scraping noises now of his nails get to the bottom, but he keeps going into it. Num, num, num. You know, he starts.
I'll actually take a look around to see if I can find another food vendor preemptively.
All right. Well, you know what? Since a player is willing to put himself out of action and distract another one so that two others can get the mission done, I will totally give you that. I will.
Keeping that dude in check is super important.
Until real combat happens, then let him loose.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to. Nico and Garion here are going to, slide off to one side and keep anything too ill to want from happening. So let's say you go off and start pestering the townspeople. Give us a mutton chop or two. And that leaves Simri and Tyth approaching your little notice. Who brought the hammer? Who brought the nails? Who wants to have a go? We taking turns?
Simri can hold everything while Tyth rips down all the notices again.
That's right.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay. Since you're actually taking several moments to start removing the town's business... Yeah, people automatically start going, hey, Bob, didn't you just post that 5 minutes ago? What the hell's he doing? You know, now the guy looks like Hellboy, 6 foot, horns full, right? I think they're hesitant to come over and complain right away, but you're starting to get a lot of onlookers stopping in their tracks 10 feet away, 60 feet away, just staring at you, wondering what the heck you're doing as he strips the town. I swear it looks like a Christmas tree, the town tree, right?
Yeah.
There's Simri with a fresh nail in her teeth and got the hammer in the post and you're like eyeballing. Where's a good spot, right?
Yeah.
Wait,
dead center.
No one wants your used cart, Bob.
You like pick one a notice up off the ground, like, what is this? Okay. Hammer it up there. And
many an ale.
And wait? Or just move on? Or, you know, what's our next move? Everybody's watching you, but no one's...
What's our next
move? Yeah. Just step
back.
Excuse me. Oh. I have a question about notice.
Yes.
So, all of a sudden, okay, the Tiefling steps back to do his handiwork, and this woman in her late 40s, it just kind of popped up in front of him, scanned the notice, and immediately spins on you guys, and before you can even step back and look down, a human woman, dressed in a long lab, like an alchemist coat.
Yes, a long alchemist coat. Yeah. She's got her hair pulled back in a really tight bun, and she's got a scalpel through the bun, keeping it together, and she's got an apron on that used to say, "Kiss the cook," but she's scribbled it out, and it says, "Pay the doctor."
Now,
and she looks at you guys. I have questions about this notice.
So, Simri, you know this woman, actually, with the sort of knowledge
Ratchet.
10. No. Yeah, scan. Actually, the name, you've got your name there, ma'am. What is your name, ma'am? She knows
Doctor.
It, but I've lost it. Sorry?
Dr. Geria Rahaldi.
There you go. This is Dr.
Knowledge 20. Yeah. I know everything about her.
this is Dr. Rahaldi. She is the town physician. Bit of a herbalist, takes patients, like runs like the mini clinic kind of thing. This is outside of holy healing. Like, obviously there's a church and people, right? You know what I mean? But she does all your herbal, all your potions, all your ailments, all your cold, flu, you know, that kind of thing. Has good anatomy, you know, that kind of thing. Also, far cheaper than the temple. You break a leg, she can splint you up. As opposed to like, here's your potion of cure. Now you owe me 50 gold, which is 2 years worth of crops. Like, the woman can make a decent living here.
I make it better for price.
Yes. Now, doctor, because the young 20-something upstart in your face is actually the sheriff's niece, you know her as well. She's a bit of a troublemaker and kind of shames the family a little bit, but the town sheriff is her aunt. Anyway, however, the tiefling is new in town, the 6-foot Hellboy monstrosity, the lithe white-haired man in an ascot, and the giant of a barbaric-looking man with a pot wandering in through the crowd, all new to the town. So, you were saying, doctor.
Yes, first question. I am town doctor, yes. What happens if emergency occurs after curfew? Do they get arrested if they come to me for problems? Say, man is in house, he eating late snack, he choke on the bone from stew, and gear's throat, he has to come to me. It's after curfew. He going to go to jail?
She's referring to some of the points in the notice about people, you know, not being able to run their business past curfew, how many groups of people can come together, that kind of thing. She absorbed it pretty quick.
Well, doctor, it's simple enough. You just have to apply for a writ. In which case, I believe, so long as people can justify that they're going to see you, they shouldn't be in any trouble at all.
Speaking of the writ, I have second question concerning writ. It says here in notice, you must obtain a writ from notary, which is inside the city. But it also says that you must obtain you must obtain documents to enter city from the notary. How do I enter city to obtain documents from notary if I am not allowed to enter city until I obtain documents from notary?
Do you happen to live outside the city?
I'm asking for family or friends that may come into city. They want to come into city, but now they need note to get into city, but they need to go to notary. But they can't get to notary because they can't come in the city because they don't have note from notary.
It is quite the predicament, I suppose, so long as you are a family or a friend, you will be able to help them.
Yes. Does not sound like a great answer. On to question number 3. I still do not know about this. What if people want to gather in a large group at the bar, local bar? It says we are allowed to help businesses. Would this gathering not be helping the bar with their business, even if it is more than the 12 allotted?
It's coming off the last game at this point. I know Simmer was already getting frustrated with the chili and whatnot, so she is kind of going up the red meter of, I don't want to give a damn about any of these people. So we're just probably going to click the dial a bit and be like, Doctor, I understand your concerns, but I do believe there is a larger threat. And at this point, I do believe that our best action is to follow the notice as best we can, or else very unpleasant things will probably befall the citizens of this town, and that would be very unfortunate, especially for a woman such as yourself, who makes such good business here. We don't want to...
It sounds to me like you just want to keep us trapped in city. But I must admit, your friend walking around with pot is very scary.
From 50 feet away. For the podcasting audience, I love how Simri is like batting her eyes in a very sarcastic way. And I want to thank Alex for doing this NPC cameo and our contest winner, Nick, from the Character Arcana podcast, who is doing a bang up job. Tyke, do you want to weigh in on this, buddy?
It's all good. He's doing it.
He's doing too well.
You're just watching this older and younger woman go at it, right? Yeah. Just picking it apart.
I get into that, it's going to be nasty.
Okay. I want it to be known, I do not believe you. I think that you people are doing bad things in this city. But what am I going to do? I am elderly doctor. I have no other choice.
Desert Baron's wishes.
Yeah. Nikolai.
Yes.
A large sneeze from Garion, and he excuses himself, and he just runs off to an alley, leaving you alone. And a crowd of people, one by one, are going up, reading the notices, and kind of gathering behind this elderly woman in a lab coat. And Simmery is waving her arms about and just waggling a finger. And this woman's got her hands on her hips, just kind of holding up fingers. One, two, three, kind of thing. And they're going at it. And meanwhile, Hellboy is just kind of standing back, just watching this go down. You're like 60 feet away. Do you want to do anything?
Yeah, give me a second. Let me just check the range on something real quick.
Okay.
Boiling someone else's pants today?
I'm thinking so.
No, so mean. You know, both our NPC and Cammy are doing such a great roleplay job. But
I can't pull it off. I don't have the rage, but man, it would be perfect. So yeah, no, I'll just move in and attempt to kind of blend in with the crowd. and maybe mutter a few words of acquiescence towards the notice. You know, like,
you doing the Marty Feldman who puts on all different hats? Yeah, maybe we should listen to them. Yeah, maybe we should. That kind of thing.
Perhaps these restrictions aren't so bad as they seem to be. Give it some time, my friends. Give it some time.
This would be awesome if you weren't like the palest white haired, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
wearing my mask.
Oh, yeah. Have you got the fox mask on?
It's kind of, it's just like a plain white visage. Like, it's just like almost like one of those theater masks.
Fan of the opera, but all of it is there.
Yeah, and it's just a bland expression on it. Okay. I use it to hide my heritage because...
You know. Okay. So you just come up on somebody's shoulder unexpectedly and lean in and start saying this stuff.
Yep.
Okay. Somebody turns and goes, leper!
It's like... Oh, and I would totally look like that because of my withered arms and stuff. Like,
you know.
Nobody touch him. Everyone get away. Get away quickly. Don't touch.
You're right, doctor. You need to take care of this man. Could you please take him back to your abode? Here, I'll even pay.
Gives the doctor cash to leave. She just drops her accusation.
Evelyn steps this. She puts on gloves.
Yeah, the crowd parts, and there's a bewildered Nico with his mask going, was it something I said? And now you've got this elderly woman scrutinizing you in your face, head to foot. What do you do?
Let's just see if I'm smart enough to play along.
All right.
Eight. No, it is misunderstanding. This is horrible burn from my youth. It is, there is nothing you can do. Unless you insist, good doctor.
I mean, I have money already. I have no incentive to actually look at you, so it does not matter. If you don't want to be looked at and I keep money, that's fine as well.
You were paid up front for a consulting fee. You're good.
You are as wise if as you say you it's are burn. Beautiful.
If you say it's burn, I believe you. I have my money.
You're correct in your self-diagnosis. Thank you. Cha-ching. Have a nice day. All right.
Is there a seduce skill there, Nikolai? As smart as you are, beautiful.
I thought you were setting him up for that. It's like, take him back to your place, Doc. I was like, oh, here we go.
Hey, whatever the damn fear needs. I mean, it's been a while, right?
I know he's.
I mean, one single meal and I could have permanent position in town for my friend Niles.
He likes older women. You don't know. He might like older women. You don't know.
I'm probably much older than she.
She pulls the scalpel out of her bun and like does that thing that girls do.
The silver cascade of senior hair, partially blue. Oh yeah.
I could give you more personal examination if you wish.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Free of cost, of course.
Didn't you say she was in her 40s? What's with the silver hair?
No, I was wrong, actually. I believe... Well, first of all, I gave the cameo. I told him it's a one paragraph NPC. He can run with it, and it's like, you know, she all bunned up and stretched out. You know, it's 45, and then she gets in your face, and the wrinkles appear. Obviously, she's you know a little elderly now. But now, with this epic hair, and I'm talking, there was a lot of bun going on there. Like practically, you know, we're coming down halfway down the back, and it's just washing in the wind, rivaling Nico's very long locks. The crowd is you know taken aback.
She twirls the scalpel in her fingers.
It's time for a hair off.
Oh, yeah. Like
a L'Oreal commercial.
Yeah, like even Garion is doing the Barry Manilow, like,
oh, yeah.
That's hardcore.
But I'd like to draw the scene back as Tythe, completely forgotten in the scene, is only like, you know, they do the helicopter view, you know, pulling out. And only then you realize the man in red with red skin is slowly making his way south out of the crowd on the way to the next stop, carrying the notice.
We have until high noon.
We're running out of time.
Fair enough. Simmery.
The doctor gives you a wink.
Taps the sundial on his arm.
My shadow is getting smaller.
Oh, that is so awesome. Pause for station identification. We'd like to thank our sponsor, our patrons, of course, as you see on the screen. Our sponsor tonight is Fantasy Grounds, who have provided us with, well, they sponsored a lot of our shows. This one I actually cut and paste by hand, but, you know, they are important to us, as well as Devin Niles Minis, who I swear by. I love this top
ten. Devin Knight?
Devin Knight Minis.
Devin Knight?
It's been a long day. It has.
They all, my friend.
Yes. And we're back. We just took a moment in the live show, not in the upload show, to thank Nick for his contribution as a contest winner for Cameo. And it's something I think we'd like to do possibly in the future. So watch our Twitter feed at Rollmongers on Twitter or myself, GM Jeff Ball, because that is where we'll post contest ideas and stuff. Like all we did was ask the community, because this is a show that's pretty much unknown, our evil show, our Hell's Vengeance, the Foul Play podcast, just to retweet when we tweeted episode went up. And like I think Nick has proved that this is not only a fun thing for the community, it's something that we would probably like to do, you know, in the future. We've had patrons as fans doing little bits on our Star Wars show, and this could really be something, and I encourage the community to try it because we had a lot of fun tonight. So moving on, taking down my writ of notice. Well, I'll just move it, you know, you never know who wants to look at it next. Tythe leads us to the next spot. And by meaning, he picks a random direction, and it's actually Simri that has to tell him where to go. To fly.
I have no idea where I'm going, so just I know we have another one to do.
Let's go, right? Time to move on. Let me bring up the next map. It's a familiar map, but it's not what you think. Because attached to the map of maps, we have... Dun, 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 dun. Oh, no. It's not doing its thing. One moment, please.
Loading.
Yeah. So, along the way, you know, we're halfway there. The doctor is following. Nico, are you hanging back, chatting the doctor up a bit? Because now the doctor and a few of the crowd, like maybe six, follow you guys. Most stay with the writ and bitch. And
I'm not going to neglect my duties for keeping an eye on Garion because trouble can ensue very badly with that guy around.
Okay, so you want to scoop up Garion?
Yeah, and as soon as I've got him, you know, like if I got to stop at a cart, toss a few coppers to get some more like meat sticks or whatever, I'll, you know, do what I got to do to keep him happy and then, you know, follow along behind them. Make sure they don't get out of sight.
Okay. So drawing your attention to the, to the map beside the map. I mean, this really is sort of a.
Are you telling me that we walked away from the bar, went to the town square, then came all the way back to the sidebar?
Well, as far as yeah, kind of. No, it's they've just doubled down on the map. So, drawing your attention to this map, we will read with its unevenly mortared stones and barred windows. This square, squat structure that Simri leads you to, with a little bit of drag in her steps, looking a little pensive and looking down like she's worried. But the building kind of looks like a miniature fortress. It's just the way it's been built. It's rather old. Despite the row of horseshoes hung beneath its sign, nothing can make the plain wood jail sign look welcoming. Two wooden pillories stand empty in front of the building. Do you guys know what a pillory is?
Nope.
Is that something that the Knights Usainee asked of King Arthur?
No. If you look at the bottom of the map, imagine a tiny little stage, a post, and two pieces of wood locked together with holes for your hands and your head to poke through.
Oh, shackles stockade.
The stockade, right. Now, if I'm wrong, I think it's a stockade. Pillories might also be what you tie a horse to. So I'm believing that this is, you know, like a stockade. I could be horribly wrong. I just realized I was so convinced now. Like,
judging from the map, I'd say you're correct.
Yeah.
From the look of it. We'll it get really
you.
Does.
You know, I've got so used to Joe helping me in the other show. Joe, would you mind looking that up?
Yeah. No, this time. Sorry. I have no idea what that is.
Google, you know, what's a pillory? Your aunt works here, Simri, with four deputies. There's likely at least two people inside, if you're lucky. All five, if not so much. Little bit of dread, anticipation. I mean, you guys saw her engage her aunt. You know, she's not afraid of that woman. If anything, she's flippant with lots of bluff checks in her face. But you can't help but notice the young woman's steps get a little heavy the closer we get to this door. So, putting you guys on the map. Entran, Nikolai, Tithe, Garion, and Simri. Heading up. This, not only do you sort of post at the jail, there's an actual, you know, extra piece of paper for your aunt that you guys are supposed to give to her, because it literally is her pink slip. It literally is explaining you're fired. What do you guys want to do?
Did we read that one?
No, it's sealed.
Okay.
Unless you guys are telling me that, oh yeah, we totally popped the seal, you know?
No. Not me, anyways. Somebody else might have, but it's not going to be me.
Okay.
Simri might have been conflicted, but given who she's working and dealing with, she probably wouldn't.
Okay. So you're supposed to nail this right on the front of the jail. There actually is a little, you know, signage with a couple postings about official court business nailed there, and that's where the Baron wants it, right next to the front door. Oh, I love how they have a couch on this porch. There's another big porch, and there's literally, like, it looks like it's supposed to be a bench, I'm guessing, but it looks like there's a comfy couch in front of the jail, and that's new. I mean, even the horse trough, little water trough at the end of the deck is convenient for your horses, you know. But, yeah, digging the couch. So, you guys roll on up. Start hammering away. What do you guys want to do?
Roll on up and repeat the process.
All right.
Clear the board and put it up the new
board.
You
just start ripping down. No one asked you to
this
do this.
This one's a little bit more important.
No one really asked you to, like, clear all the other town business. The dude's just doing it. Simri.
Deep breath. She'll knock on the door.
All right. Hammer away. Nico.
I'll lead Garion up onto the step. Off to the side, sit him down on the couch.
Stay here until you are called upon. We may need your skills.
Can I have a diplomacy check? Because right now, technically, he counts as NPC. You want to count him, you know, convince Gary, and this is a good idea.
Please be good. Oh, no, 11. It's above average.
Gary sits where he wants, stands where he wants. And he stands in front of the couch looking at it.
Longingly, like he's painted himself into a corner. You're guessing he probably wants to say
yes, yeah, yes, of course, my friend, of course. Foolish of me, of course. Do as you please.
And on that, he like nods and sits down. And that's classic Frank, the 180.
And
this
I'll,
guy.
And I'll hand him a couple meat skewers, is like that. You know, like good like, boy, take the meat.
It's like you're taking your stepson to the ball game. I got to keep feeding this kid. So mom likes me. All right. So, you're hammering away, bang, 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 and then there's, you know, like, on the front door of the jail, and he's bang, bang, bang. So, you know, sure enough, the door pops out, open, and out spills, like, you guys literally got to take a step back, out spills five people. Well, like, they're all like, what are you, like, out comes the sheriff. And she just, you know, steps out and, you know, sort of makes you make way, unless you guys, like, literally block her in the doorway. And out pour four little deputies. I mean, sure, I'll even trap one in the doorway, but, you know, they all spill onto the porch here. What's going on, Simmery? Says your confused aunt.
We are here to dismiss you. And she hands her the envelope.
Okay. She takes it, breaks the seal, opens it. You can see her read through it three times. Like, to, like, you know what I mean? Like, she glances through it, looks at you with an eyebrow, reads it again, like maybe she misunderstood, looks at the deputies, and then just quickly looks at the center of it, folds it up, and hands it to a deputy, and they start passing it around. She steps inside, past the deputies. So they follow her. What do you guys do? This does not look like quitting at the moment. She's coming.
I'll turn to Simmery. I'll turn to Simmery and be like, I am confused. Typically, when somebody's given their notice, do they not leave the premises?
Hearing what he's saying, Simmery should continue to walk through the door, speaking to her aunt.
Okay.
Just one question before. Yep. Were they armed when they came out of the door?
They have a sap and like a billy club on their belts.
Okay.
And it's like, it's in the, like, you know, they're holstered kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so they just carry them around.
But no sword, no axe, no.
No, no, no. They have like the wooden nightstick, which acts as like an actual lethal club, and they have their little sap, you know. So technically they are armed, but lightly. Anyway, two of the deputies stay out here looking at you guys.
Were we given instructions to do anything other than serve the notice?
That was it.
That was
Our
it.
Our job is done.
Okay.
Okay. So, Simmery, you head inside. Your aunt goes straight to her desk and takes off her bow and slaps it on the desk. And then the turning in my gun and badge kind of scene starts playing out. Starts muttering under her breath, too much of a coward to do his dirty work himself. And she starts rifling through the desk, retrieving some obvious personal belongings. Simmery, what do? You in the doorway, or you come further in, or...
She stepped in with, you know, the traditional, times are changing, you can't, you know, deny that. And then as soon as she sees her take off her bow, like, in her official personage, she just stops. She's a bit shocked, but gaining composure and realizing that she's accepted what has been decided for her, she nods and says, you're making the right decision.
Collecting up her stuff, right? And she heads to a weapon rack and retrieves her crossbow. She owns this crossbow. You know this. Okay? Doesn't load it. She just takes it from the wall. I guess the long ebony hunting bow is the, you know, the sheriff has ye bow in the town to hunt, or, you know, stand where you are. Leveling a crossbow at someone, I would suppose, is a little bit more like, you know, someone carrying a shotgun and just, what are you doing? Like, you know, you don't engage the townsfolk. You have a bow. You can engage them at range if things go bad. You have a sword, right? So they made her look the hunter-ranger part for town and law. Hunt down, like, U.S. Marshal kind of thing, as opposed to a whole bunch of people carrying crossbows, which just ping, go off, right? But she owns one, and she retrieves it. And she starts walking past you with a, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about what the townsfolk are in store for with thugs like them in charge. Now, the deputies... During this time, you guys are outside going, oh, you know, mission accomplished, right? You're all patting each other on the back. Simmery goes in, last words with her aunt. Two go in, okay? The two on the deck are still passing the note because it was going through four guys, right? So two go in, they've read it. Deputy two hands off to deputy three, who's just reading it now, and he looks pissed and he hands it to deputy four, okay? Deputy one, who followed her inside, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't justice, that ain't right. Dude goes to the back of the room, to the armory, and immediately picks up a crossbow and loads it. Simmery, unfortunately for you, you're the only one that sees this, because these guys are outside, patting each other on the back, right? But there is a rippling effect. right sort of in the door is Simmery, and passing through said door, you know, stomping. Okay. I guess what hurts the most, Simmery, is you're, as soon as she looked at you and then looked at the note, she stopped looking at you. She does not make eye contact for the rest of this encounter. She just says her little bit to the room. I'm not worried about me, she says to the deputies, yourself in the room, does not make eye contact with you and starts stepping past. However, the two deputies outside, same thing. They look pissed. They look to see what their leader does. You know, old Floyd here inside is loading a crossbow. What do you do, Simmery?
At that point, it seems pretty freaking threatening, so she would draw her weapons.
Okay. Out on the porch, guys, now you're not morons. These two deputies look pissed off. They don't pull their billy clubs, but hands go on them. One turns to you, one turns to Tithe, and it's like, you know, you can't do this. This ain't right. Like, one's waving the writ at Tithe because he's the closest at PC. The other one is closer to Nico and Garion and just has his hand on the club nodding like, yeah, what the hell, what, you know, what do you guys think you're doing? This is like, they're murmuring, whatever. Rhonda steps through the door and can hear her, you know, guys, this ain't right, this type of thing, right? Simmery pulls her sword. The guy levels his crossbow, like does the hip thing. Doesn't point it at Simmery, but you know what I mean? Like, starts stepping up, okay? At this point, I'd like to know what Nico and Tithe are doing, because Tithe, on your angle, it is on an angle, but straight through the door, you can see Simmery. You can see Rhonda exit and come out towards you, and you can see Simmery not pulling the sword to, like, backstab the aunt, but pulling the sword and looking threateningly in the building where two other deputies went. You don't know if it's a don't try anything, boys, or whatever's going on, but, and also, there's a guy in front of you. What do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? You know, this kind of thing. Hand goes to his weapon, and he's waving the notice in your face. What do you do? What is your intent at this time?
What is my intent this time?
Yeah.
Garion. We need your assistance.
You know, I always knew that line, we have a Hulk, would come out. I just didn't think it would come out this early in the game. And I wasn't expecting it from Joe, the second biggest dude.
So there's, you know, two guys right at the door?
Right, so...
Oh, and the sheriff. Sheriff is stepping in.
And the sheriff.
Ex-sheriff.
Yeah, our former town sheriff, right? So let me just populate the map here, okay? Get a guy in the back here, shield and pike, but that's our crossbow guy, right? And you got his buddy just kind of standing out in the middle of the room, hand going to his weapon. And then you've got two more, you know, regulars. Come on. They don't want to go to my map. Well, that's weird. There we go. Two more deputies. Deputy Dan and Deputy Earl here. Come on. There we go. One is standing here. One standing there. And then we've got our sheriff, who is like literally just stepping through the door here. Okay. So if the audience were standing out front and there's a 20-foot wide deck stairway of wood going up 10 feet, and then we've got 10 feet to the right with Nico right in the front corner of that stairway, we go 10 feet deep and there's a 10-foot long couch with Garion sitting on it. Dead center, top of the stairs, are two deputies, one facing Nico, one facing the other way. Tithe's on the corner. Tithe is actually up against the building where he just put up the note. Right next to Tithe, back towards the center, we have a doorway with the sheriff coming out. Behind her, in the doorway, just beyond, is back to her, pulling a weapon, looking into the room for some reason, we have Simmery. And inside the room, with many tables and chairs in this large 60 by 60 room, one center to the left, west, and one in the back, top left, pulling a crossbow, loading it, and now, you know, getting this ain't right. And this is our moment in time. Everyone's intent seems pretty much obvious, but no one seems to be making that first shot move. Nico, Tithe calls for Garion to get his attention, maybe he found more food, you know.
Don't care. Turning my attention onto the, onto, what's her name?
The sheriff?
The sheriff, yeah.
Yeah.
Please, my friend, do not force us to open the blood of your comrades.
Okay.
Have your men stand down. Make this a peaceful transition, or I will be forced to slay all of you.
And then I'll pull my mask off, showing my vampiric features.
Okay. She looks you right in the eye no fear, narrows them. You know, you understand this woman is not afraid of you, but there's also that, what are you talking about? Like, not confusion, but you are wrong. And then she does the, you know, looks at the guys, her own men.
Like one who I have my hand on their shoulder. I'm standing right beside it.
Looking right at these guys like, don't, that not here. Right? A glance over her shoulder towards Simri, who's arming herself, and she can hear them in the back. That ain't right, that ain't right. Like, she was just going to go, come on, boys, or just let them empty, you know, type of thing. She does. She, you know, tells them. She orders them. As my last act as sheriff, before I leave this establishment, and she looks down at the porch like, this counts. She orders them to stand down. And you get the gesture, like, I could say, screw you, you just maybe not sheriff, they're your problem. You know what I mean? So as a kind, despite the threat you just put in her face, she takes the high road, sternly, but orders them to put the weapon down. Okay. They hold.
I'm sure the Archbaron will appreciate your dedication to the job.
I'm not worried about me, she says, repeating the lines she mumbled to Simri. I'm worried about the townsfolk and what will happen when thugs like you are in charge. And she pointedly steps through her own men and starts walking away. There is that tense moment. The guys look hesitant. You know, one of theirs is armed, pulled a weapon. One of yours is armed, pulled a weapon. Everyone's all hand ready, like on the trigger kind of thing. And then, unless anyone, you know, loses their nut here, the crossbow is lowered.
I think you should have to roll percentile for Garion.
Garion, squish.
I'm getting to Garion. I'm getting to Garion. Unbeknownst to Garion at this time, in the building, only Simri, you know, the crossbow is lowered. But the hateful dagger gaze, because this man knows that's your aunt. And what a dirty move to have the Baron have you personally fire her. The disgust in the man's face is far
personally,
more wounding.
I applaud the flair of the Archbaron. That is very...
Kudos to the bad guys, right?
Slick move. I like this guy.
Redshirt has his moment of glaring and distrust, but he puts the crossbow down. Sorry, lowers it.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, Simri will lower.
And because it is the proverbial property, you know what I mean? He leaves it. Like, he, you know, takes the bolt out and puts them both on the table. Still has his club and his sap, but, you know, and the guy behind him falls suit. And unless you guys impede, marches out. Simri, he said, you put your sword away. So they...
Yeah, kind of letting her aunt's words sink in. She'd be like,
plenty of violence to come in the future, I'm sure.
You were saying, Simri?
Oh, it would kind of be one of those moments like we aren't thugs. That hurt.
Still, my pride. Sniff, sniff, right?
Oh, my feels.
Right. And then there's like, they walk past you. Then they go past Nico, and he's like waving. Plenty of violence in the future, boys. Like, I'm sure, right? Anyway.
And I'll take time while they're leaving to try and memorize all their faces.
Okay. While you guys are turned, because we did, like I said, I asked you what you're doing earlier, Nico, and you're like, nope, don't care. I'm on this guy. So you 180, you get Johanna's shoulder, and you're on Rhonda. So no one notices Garion get off the couch, lift the entire couch over his head. And as they're marching out the door, right, and she's walking away, it's like they look left and they look at you. They're still moving, but they're just suddenly all heads turn left. Like, is he doing what I think he's going to do? And there's Garion just holding the couch, smiling. And it's not one of those, I'm waiting to be told yes or no. It's just one of those, you know, I get off the couch, I pick it up, I get a good, you know, get the good log roll there, turn around, half it up in the air, and those guys notice, and you notice just as he's about to...
search for change.
Throw the entire couch onto the dog pile of dudes. Unless, like, what do you guys do?
Clap. <What's that? laughs> Bust out the keys.
Jingle.
All
right. Garion, look, shiny. It fell out of couch. Good job, my friend. Oh, so helpful.
You try to distract them so that they can put some distance?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I have a bluff check, please?
Absolutely.
All right. La-da-da-da. So Ignoring your backseat jamming of percentage, 100% Garion's gonna do something, dude. It's more like, what do you do to stop it? Or do you not stop it? It's your choice. There's no dice. Come on, this is Frank's Garion, man. I'm not gonna like roll percentage and have him phone me up in a week going, dude, 40%? Did I do something? 100. You know? So I like it better that it's like a player choice to either try to stop him or just let it go.
I will attempt to stop him, and once okay. I'm like jangled in the keys, I'll look over my shoulder and be like, you should run.
Let it go.
All right. So anyway, he's taking a step forward, ready to launch this couch. He's like,
you forgot your couch.
You know, like he's going to like take this too. And then all of a sudden, jingle, 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 because you got an 18. He's like, ooh. The man's strength astounds you as he is off balance and he should let go with 1 foot forward. And he's holding an entire couch extended over your head because he was going to throw it straight over Nico at those guys. Now he's just holding over Nico, looking. You've got the big shadow of the boulder over you, Wily Coyote, while you're shaking your keys. What do you do? Now make a strength check. Someone has to suffer, Garion. Ooh, 19. 14 plus is, you know, crazy yeah. strength. Yeah.
I will attempt to placate the beast.
All right. Diplomacy. You've distracted him for the moment.
Natural 20 for 26.
All right. And what do you do? You just awkwardly stroke his back, or what's the act? It's a natural 20, yeah, but it's like, I'd still want to know what you actually do at this point. You're standing
excellent
there.
Excellent job, my friend. Look at them flee with your display of brute strength.
Garion is very strong.
And he actually, to prove the point, he actually, like, lets go with one hand and still continues to hold it, smiling right over top of your head.
It seems like waste of good couch. You seem very comfortable there before. Maybe you should put it down and have a seat.
Garion looks at the door. You can see the wheels turning. And I'd like to go up in Garion's head for a moment, going,
Judging by the amount of staff, and there's four of them, I'm sure that the chairs and the widths of their hips means that Garion probably couldn't sit comfortably. Perhaps I should keep my comrade's advice close to heart and keep this piece of furniture for my own personal use.
But he actually looks at the door, looks at you, and goes, and just puts it down. Stalish
sigh of relief.
Stalish at this point has strutted off. Like, she doesn't even wait for deputies. She's just strutting across town. She's out of earshot. The deputies are, you know, 30 feet away and just kind of going off down around to the right, you know, that kind of thing, leaving you guys on the porch with your brand new jailhouse. Woot woot.
Woot woot.
What do you guys want to do?
So, Simmery, what now? Is that not the final instruction we were given? Should we perhaps contact Riz Largo and let him know that we are finished?
That's not all he said. Simmery, sheathing her sword and walking over to her aunt's desk, picks up the sheriff's bow and puts it over her own shoulder, turns back to the boys and says, I've picked my job.
Ooh.
Ooh, goody goody.
Can I have a local knowledge check, Simmery?
Sure. Zoop. That would be 22.
You know for a fact that there should be valuables in here.
Of course, we're yes. take everything.
This is our new office.
It's called loot.
You know, the dusty hideout was so far outside of town. Now we don't have to go so far.
Well, you do have to return to the Ash House to see your benefactor, yeah. you know, as it were. But the keys. You know, they're not doing any favors. Left with the
we're
deputies.
We're in the couch, and we have that now.
No, sir. But if you guys want to turn the place over, I don't mind, you know, telling you what you might find. There's three cabinets in here.
Garion will help you.
You guys have no key. You can hunt down the key on the deputies. You can try to pick the lock. You can have Garion just open them. But then they don't become very useful to keep things sealed up anymore.
Garion's been bored. Simmery points at the cupboards and says, hey, think you can show off and open those?
Okay.
We need to exercise him, take him for his daily walk.
Oh, yeah, totally. All right. So, foregoing, and this is nothing against Alex, but foregoing the lowest disabled device check I've ever seen, ever. Like, locks and things start at 20 and 30, and it's like, to see something this low, it's like, well, that's a really crappy... This jail was not well equipped.
It's just one of the little... fucking hook. Yeah.
Flip over latch.
Start ripping open cabinets, and he starts dumping an assortment of weapons and armor on the floor. 3 suits of leather, 4 light wooden shields, 6 clubs, 4 light crossbows, and 40 bolts. I know Joe likes the volley of crossbow brigade.
Oh, yeah.
You get a crossbow, and you get a crossbow. 4 longswords, 6 saps, as well as 6 vials. Clearly marked with the symbol of Imode.
Must be poison.
And 2 and 2 more vials that are not marked. Oh, sorry. They're all marked with of symbols of Imode, but some of them seem to have different contents, different color goo in them. One of the cabinets also holds a key etched with the word pillory that unlocks the sturdy padlocks to the stock and bond in front of the jail. So we were right. There is also a lockbox, Simri, behind the sheriff's desk.
Assuming that I can't find any keys.
You want to pick or you want to set Gary in on this?
Do I have picks?
Yeah.
Sure. I can try opening it.
Yeah, disable device.
Oh, I guess I can do that.
Take as long as you want. Don't roll.
24.
Yes.
No. Yes. Doing this quickly.
Beating the DC of 20, the lockbox contains an assortment of weapons, contraband confiscated over the years. Inside is a wand, a masterwork bronze sizor. Oh my God, do not tell Frank there's a sizor. That is the Roman gladiator weapon, which is the big cylinder cuff that goes over one hand, and out the end is the big curved spike.
How big was this lockbox?
It's big. And it's decorated with a sculpted lion. There's a small shall we say, oiled pouch that seems watertight. They could put something chemical in it. An alchemy? There's drugs in here. There's a collection of 17 pornographic Taldarian quartos containing scripts for 2 plays, including Her Highness's Tea Service and The Guardian's Fine Salute. Freaking opera porn. And it's all illegal shit. There's drugs in here. There's booze in here. There's porn in here. Oh my God.
Nikolai goes up and casts Detect Magic.
Oh yes. There are 6 potions in here, dude, and a wand. There are 7 skull-shaped onyxes. Oh, you guys could be like the skull-shaped onyx club. Each keep one for yourselves. There's a pouch containing 10 platinum and a bill of ownership for a halfling male, 20 years, service-trained, missing toe on left foot, responds to name Arden because slavery is legal in Jellyax.
Ooh.
Ah, yes, the beginning of my thrall army.
There is 7 skull-shaped onyxes, which is really cool if anyone cares to appraise them, a pouch containing 10 platinum pieces, and a bill of ownership claiming whoever carries this is the master for a slave, and it says halfling male, 20 years, is service trained, missing toe on left foot, responds to name Arden because slavery is legal in Chelyax. That is so awful and cool at the same time.
Knowledge local, I want to see if I know anyone named Arden. Is this like a dude in town? And like the sheriff was just like, buddy, buddy, don't worry, I'll teach this. Oh, I got a natural 20. 25. Do I know this dude?
Well, if she has the master's bill, Chelyaxian law, you're not supposed to mistreat your slaves. If you beat them or like you can hurt them, but you mean like if you're really violent or wound them unnecessarily or, you know, besides the whack, get back to work. If you're really cruel to slaves, you could be arrested and tried and end up indentured service a slave yourself. The Hell Knights and Chelyax do not like citizens being assholes. They are a tyranny, sure, and slavery is legal. And if you get yourself in too much debt, you can end up being an indentured servant and a slave, technically. But they're not. This is not like ye old build the pyramids Egypt slaves where they just whipped you till you fell and they just grabbed more people and threw them in the pile, you know.
Well, somebody
you said halfling, right?
Yeah, the good old days.
Yeah. Halfling male, 20 years, service trained, missing toe on left foot, owns wolf, responds to the name of Winston. I mean, sorry. Missing toe on left foot responds to the name of Arden. Little plug for Matt's character in our Dice Before Dishonor All Cavalier campaign where he plays Winston, the halfling cavalier, riding a wolf. Gentlemen, ladies, you get experience points for a story award, the same as if you had actually fought and defeated the sheriff and her deputies for keeping your shit together.
Huzzah!
So, magic, hoof, poof, some spellcraft, some appraise checks from Simri and Tithe, all around.
Sure.
The wand detects his magic. The bronze sizer weapon does not.
20 for the first detect, or spellcraft, 15 for the second.
The vials, all clearly marked with the symbol of Imode, are
sacrilege.
Six potions of cure light wounds and two potions of remove disease. There's also a key to the stock and pillory out front, Matt, that you missed when you jumped away.
Somebody picks up a disease vial and just kind of shakes it at Nikolai. Yeah. Here you go, this will help.
It's a remove disease. Here you go, you poor leper.
Ha ha ha, Simri. Your jokes keep getting staler the longer I am with you.
Stalish, it's in the name.
Oh, okay, that was good. That was good. I'll give that one to you.
50 XP for Matt, 100 XP for Alex, because that was great. That was awesome. The comeback was without a doubt. So, the scene changes as you guys bask in your jail-filled glory, take stock of this and that. Can I have some appraising and possibly any knowledge arcana, knowledge alchemy? Wish the good doctor were here.
I got none of that.
All right. I know nothing of arcana.
A wand of shocking grasp.
Ooh, but I know what this does.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't mind.
Both you guys are divine, though. This is an arcane item. It might not be in your wheelhouse to activate. You may have to use the use magic device skill.
I have used magic device. Yeah, yeah. I got that. I got
it. It's like 20 to activate blindly. I'm just saying, this could be a lot of fun and bad at the same time. Let's see. Who would be the most familiar with a certain substance? Our doctor. He's not here. Next in line? I would have to say...
Oh, there's another doctor in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is this? Well, think about it. It's locked up. It's obviously contraband. There's porn. There's potions of healing. There's magical weapons. And then there's alchemical substances, which are obviously kind of some... I'll give you a general. Give me a knowledge arcana, guys, or like a, you know, some local... tell you what it is without telling you exactly what it is.
Intelligence check it is.
Yeah, no.
Six, no.
Natural 20 for 23.
Yeah, yeah. Joe for the wind. That's poison. Those are drugs. That's blue winnis. That's pesh.
Yeah.
Pesh comes from the Arabic country of Pathfinder, Katapesh. And it's a very popular drug. The poison is a single dose of, you're not sure what it is, but you can tell just by the way it's contained that this has got to be some kind of actual poison.
Is what I know if it'd be like injury poison or digestible poison?
You could actually probably use this either way.
Okay.
Because of the way it's contained, the pouch is set up like with a little rim container. Like, so instead of putting it in a vial where you like dump it in a drink or pour it over your sword, it's set up in a way like a, I believe this is stuff is like a liquidy paste. So you could put it in food and you could smear it on a blade, you know, that type of thing. Oh. I got to look into it. But like I said, it's, you know, giving Ryan his due for the doctor for specific and you guys being outside the skill set, I'll be kind and say that's poison, that's drugs. And Pesh being a tiefling, I'm not saying you're automatically familiar with drugs, but a lot of your kind are second class citizens. Actually, just about all of your kind in Cheliacs, even though they worship demons, actual tieflings are all considered pretty much second class citizens.
I know.
And a lot of you guys fill up the slums and cities, and drugs are, you know, part of the lifestyle, unfortunately. 10 doses of Pesh.
Some good coin there.
And some Tal'Darian porn. It just kills me.
Like legit Tal'Darian porn? The most boring porn you've ever seen?
No. A collection of 17 pornographic Tal'Darian kortos containing scripts for two performer plays, including Her Majesty's Tea Service and The Guardsman's Fine Salute.
I love it.
Hilarious.
Those are going to find their way into my cloak.
Yeah, it's like Nico is like, I'll be taking these, their culture. It's, you know, just have to study these.
Keeping the good doctor in mind.
Yeah. It's a Christmas gift. What else? What do you give the doctor that has everything? So.
Experience.
After basking in our job for a while, you know, I'm sure we got Simri, you know, leaning back sheriff style on the desk with the boots on the corner, you know, in the small town sheriff, right? Checking poses.
Counting her onyx skulls.
Counting the onyx skulls, leaning back until you almost lose your balance. Yeah. 6 hours later, when that finally, you know, becomes boring with you guys like poking around the jail, playing.
Look, Garion's in jail.
And then he bends the bars and steps out.
No, he isn't.
You know, puts the bars back. Stuff like that, you know. Nico excuses himself to one of these side rooms with his Tal'Darian plays for a while. You know, all kinds. 6 hours go by. Like, the day is spent.
Fat.
6 hours go by. Simri, you know, you got to get back to the Ash House. You do need to report to Laura's Largo and tell him, you know, what's going down.
On our way back, we should swing by the bar and see if the notice is still up there.
Okay. It actually is.
Good.
And the same thing at the gate we went through.
So you guys want to go backtrack to every place you went?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, just sure. To be sure.
Yep. Nope. No one's dared taking them down yet.
It seems this town is a little bit less exciting than I had hoped. Oh, well. Shall we?
And I'll indicate towards our destination.
All right. Now, remember we talked about rebellion points?
Yes.
Outright. Causing a fight, murdering a civilian in front of townsfolk, like, cost you guys 3 points. You know, pissing people off, assault, embarrassing. You know, like, if you got caught with that low blow spell and they saw you do it, that's a rebellion point. But so far, I will look back over what your actions, but I may have to retract this. But right now, I think you guys are pretty clean.
I think maybe one for the innkeeper, because Tithe did chuck the pot o' chili on him.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, but I don't know if you want to determine that our subsequent actions smooth things out enough.
Well, I will tell you this, because I can't quite get to this part in the episode because something interesting is about to happen. But Simri assures you guys that we have all day. We'll go around and, you know, Res Largo will reward us, you know, with what he promised. He's good for his word so far. And it's at Res Largo's interest. But if, because he hinted about introducing you guys to the Baron, if we keep working for Res Largo, you know, you guys might start rubbing elbows with a Baron, which is technically your ticket out of this dump of a town. Or maybe settle in like Simri, who seems to be wanting to dig in her heels. Stay with the town. A clever way for Alex to keep the character in town and free herself up for possible future role. But I'm going to cap tonight's episode, whether it's for a week, we could possibly come back. That's up to you, fandom. Like, subscribe, leave comments in these videos on these web pages. Give us the hits. Show us that this show is preferred over one of our others, and we will come back to it far sooner. Because as you guys head out the door and round the corner, 4 very pissed off deputies pulling their saps fan out and look like they're ready for a tussle. And we will see you all next time.